welcome those on Facebook Live, on YouTube, and those that are in person this morning. I pray that you're well. And forgive me, I had to comb my beard because face masks aren't favorable for people with beards. And I didn't want you to stare at how crazy it looked while I was up here. But we're grateful to be here in the morning, this morning, Sunday morning. How many are grateful for another day of life, right? Just because we woke up this morning, right? Because this year has been tough. I think we can all agree that this year has been one for the history books. I'm pretty sure that at one point or another, in any conversations that we've had, we've probably said, either at the beginning of that conversation or at the end of that conversation, man, what a year. What a year. Because 2020, right? I feel like it was just April. And now we are in the first Sunday of the last month of 2020. It's almost like the year was mushed up into a couple of days, and here we are, the end of the year. And as we reflect on 2020 and in all of its glory, and we can agree that it has not been easy, right? Job loss, Zoom fatigue is a thing now. Before now, we wanted to go to class on Zoom, and now we are dying to be in person, some of us. Zoom fatigue is a reality. The difficulties of being a parent and with children in public systems, I'm going to raise my hand for that. And I'll raise it for my wife as well. Mental health has caught blows after blows after blows. The social unrest that we find ourselves. And then, as a cherry on top, we end up with election season. And all that it means, it felt, it looked like. And on top of that, over all that, the pandemic and the loss of life, and how hard it's been, and how hard it's been for families, and how holidays have changed, how seats are now empty on family tables. In an intimate moment with God, I was praying to the Lord, Lord, what word should I bring, right? What word can I bring to the church? What word do we need to hear? And I felt the Lord tell my spirit and my heart, we need wisdom. You need wisdom. The church, capital C, global church, needs wisdom. And I think we can agree that as a collective, as a people, what we most need is wisdom. We need wisdom today, tomorrow, and yesterday. Especially in the season that we find ourselves in, the historical time that we find ourselves in. But I felt that there's a need, before we get into this wisdom, there's a need to recognize that there is a difference, because I think sometimes we confuse wisdom, especially when we speak about wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge, real quickly, is having the appropriate information needed. Having facts, analytics, research. While wisdom is knowing how and even when to say what we know. Because we all know that at some point or another, we have lacked wisdom as well. We've confused it as well. And as we consider the season that we find ourselves in, I think we've all seen lack of wisdom playing out in our society, especially on social media, the big elephant in the room. I think we can all agree that we need wisdom. And not only any type of wisdom, but there is a particular type of wisdom that we as a church, as sons and daughters of God, need to aspire and strive to obtain. And that is descending wisdom. Because as we all see in James, as we will all see in James, that he shows us that there is multiple wisdoms. There's two types of wisdoms that you and I can obtain. But there's only one type of wisdom that will empower the church to step into the proper place that it needs to be in. And that is descending wisdom. I want you to open your scriptures with me to James chapter 3. We're going to read scripture and then we're going to pray. James chapter 3, verses 13 and through 17. And through this, my hope is that we would be challenged towards a critical inward examination of ourselves, right? Kind of check ourselves unbiasedly. To see, to find out whether or not we are engaging, exhibiting our reality through this descending faith. Or descending wisdom, sorry. The word of the Lord is read in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The church says, amen. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Verse 15. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exists, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits. Some verses, some translation says compassion, impartial and sincere. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you in this moment. We thank you first and foremost for your Spirit, the ability that you give us to draw near to you, God, the ability that you give us to be embraced by you this morning, God. And we ask, oh Lord, that this word, God, that I believe you've placed in my heart, God, Lord, would land on fertile ground, Lord. God, I pray that you would take me out of the equation and that it would be your Spirit that speaks this morning and that all ear that is here, God, would hear, oh Lord. In your name we pray, amen and amen. We've established already that we need wisdom. We've established already that there are two types of wisdoms. And as we see interactions, sometimes destructive and sometimes inconsiderate, between friends and family, between people we don't even know sometimes, as we engage with our current lived realities in our communities and in our neighborhoods, realities like social unrest that we find ourselves in, racism, the constant attack on our undocumented brothers and sisters, the fight on whether you're Republican or Democrat or you're believer or not believer, whether you're yellow or brown, green or blue. There's a lot of unrest. There's a lot of conversations that are happening in this moment. And I think you and I can agree that there is a lack of wisdom found in our conversations. And this is our daily lived out reality. This is what we live in. And I know that we know that this is not our home, yet we are just passing here. But the reality is until Christ comes for us, this is our home. This is our reality. This is what we engage with. And because of that, because we are sons and daughters of Christ, and because we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, there is a particular responsibility on our lives to live lives here on earth in our reality in a certain manner, in a certain way. And I propose to you that the tool and the characteristic that we need as a church, capital C, to change this narrative, to change the direction, to change conversation, these spaces, is to seek and to seek the peace of the city and to address the social unrest that we find ourselves in is the tool and the characteristic of descending wisdom. It is this wisdom that will help change the narrative. It is this wisdom that will help us into action of the knowledge that we have in a constructive way, in a productive way, in an edifying and efficient manner. In other words, to live out what we know in a way that builds up rather than destroys, that brings unity rather than marginalization. We need descending faith, descending wisdom that will inform how we live in light of the truth of our Savior without disconnecting us from our current reality. In other words, my eyes are on Christ, but remembering that my feet are on the ground. The beautiful thing, the encouraging thing about this is that James chapter 1, 5, he tells us, he gives us an encouraging word to us. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, right, already with the understanding that it is the descending wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, which means without asking any questions or prejudgment, and it will be given to him. So if we find ourselves today lacking descending wisdom somewhere in our lives, there is the salvation, there is help, because if we genuinely and transparently come to Christ, as we critically, inwardly look at ourselves and we say, God, I lack it in this space, help me. Scripture tells us, God tells us through James, that if we ask him, he will give it to us. In other words, he gives it without asking questions. I came here to tell someone that we need descending wisdom. We need wisdom that flows without contamination, unadulterated from the throne of God. We need wisdom from the one who is without blemish. From the one who we can completely trust will give us exactly what we need. We need descending faith, descending wisdom. And James answers for us what this wisdom looks like. It's the natural question. Okay, descending faith, but what does it look like? And we know that James, his book is very practical, deals with our spiritual walk and discipline and life in a practical manner. So I love James, and he's one of the people I want to meet when I get up there, because I feel like he speaks to to who I am. But James not only says you need this wisdom, he also says this is how it looks. It is this wisdom that we need to step out, and he says. And James in these verses tells us that there are two different types of wisdom that we can obtain and exert and live out, but there is only one that we need to strive to obtain. And it is descending wisdom, wisdom that comes from above. And today I want to share with you three keys given to James, to the church, that will help us identify this wisdom in others, but most importantly, in ourselves. Because scripture, I heard a preacher say, a lot of people say that God is not interested in how you act, in changing how you act. But I would agree with him when he said that I believe that how we act is definitely of an importance to Christ. Three keys. The first key is what it looks like, its origin, and its result. The first key to identifying descending wisdom is considering what it looks like, its operation. And verse 13 and 14 says the following: who is wise and understanding among you? It's a challenging and rhetorical type of question, right? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. The Lord via James, verse 13 only, the Lord via James is pointing out to us a few things. He uses important key words to show us something. He says, he uses words like conduct. He says, let him show. And he says works, right? In other words, James is telling us that action, our action, how we live out is very important. And not just any type of action, but he says good conduct, right? Good works. I want to remind us that the way we operate, the way we live out, the way we act this faith out, the way we conduct ourselves counts and is of the utmost importance. What the scripture tells us, right, in Matthew, by their fruits, they will be known by their actions, by how they live, by what they produce. And I know that we say that acts will not get us to heaven, and that is true, but I will respond and say that acts alone will not get us to heaven, but acts definitely are needed. Listen to what James says explicitly in chapter 2 with regards to the importance of our conduct, the importance of our actions in connection to our faith. Starting at verse 14 of chapter 2, he says, what good is it, again, James rhetorically, right? What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and I want to kind of go back to that, right? Works we understand by good works, right? He says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, verse 16, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled without giving them, action, the things needed for the body, what good is that? Verse 17, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, and he doesn't mince his words here, he says, is dead. Later in verse 26, he restamps his thought. He says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. In more blunt words, it is good for nothing. It is lifeless. Dead stuff cannot produce anything. What James is telling us, in other words, is that our faith needs to drive and direct our actions, and our actions should affirm the faith knowledge that I say that I have. Further, we must understand that they need one another. We cannot just do actions without them affirming my knowledge, my faith. And I cannot just do faith without it driving what I do, how I act, how I engage, how I treat others. James is simply saying it is not sufficient to say that we are wise or to believe someone is wise when they say they are. Rather, it is also important and necessary to what? To see that they are wise. And I believe we can agree that our words lose value if our actions don't fit. I believe it is a call for us to look in the mirror, not just today, but daily and constantly in our walk with Christ. A call towards a conviction, a call to look at ourselves daily and ask ourselves, am I being of good testimony? Not to myself. Am I being good testimony of Christ to the people, to the world? James continues to help us and tells us what this wisdom looks like, this descending wisdom. He says in verse 17, wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and meek, open to reason, conversation, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. What a list. What a checklist for us to put on our mirror and say, okay, did I do this? Did I do this? Did I engage this way? Did I miss it here? And it is via this checklist that we must answer the question of whether we are living out this descending wisdom. Am I in moments of tension, of difficulty, exhibiting wisdom that is unadulterated and pure? Or is it polluted with ideologies, comfort, and privilege? Am I peaceable? In other words, do I speak peace or do I throw gas into the flame? Am I meek, which implies discipline to not react or treat people via my emotions? Am I sincere with others? Am I nice sincere? Because we know that there's some sincerity that chops heads off. We don't want that sincerity. I mean, sometimes it's constructive, but. Or do I find myself responding similar to the other type of wisdom, right, that James tells us about? The other wisdom. Wisdom that is filled, as he says, with bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, and that one that doesn't consider others. Like, I like how the ASV reads this verse. It says, for where jealousy and faction are, right? Faction meaning different groups, right? The desire to separate, the desire to dissent. There is confusion and evil deed. We need descending wisdom, church. Our world needs a church and people that engage it via descending wisdom. How can we identify descending wisdom in our life and in others? By considering how it looks. Considering what it looks like. How it operates. The second key to identifying and recognizing this descending wisdom is via its origin. Its origin, where it births, where it comes from. And at the end of verse 15 and 16, James first identifies the second or the other type of wisdom. He says, this wisdom is not a wisdom that comes from above. Right there, he's making a clear distinction. Then he identifies and defines it as earthly. The Greek word there is epigeos, and epigeos means that which exists over the dirt, really. In other words, this other wisdom that you and I need to do our best to not obtain nor exhibit has nothing to do with the heavenly, but everything to do with what exists on this earth. He tells us that the other wisdom finds its genesis, its beginning on everything from below. James, without mincing his words, is telling us that this other wisdom is made, produced, created by humanity. And we know that us as humans are sinful people and imperfect people. And if by nature we are that, then by nature what we produce will have tendencies of sinful nature and imperfection. A biblical commentary says, this wisdom is at ground level and does not have the ability to fly beyond that. It does not account for God. It does not recognize a divine origin. It does not have deep nor profound reaches. In other words, this wisdom is subject to earthly passions, only recognizes earthly things, and rejects anything that is divine. It finds its birth, its genesis, and humanity, right? Another theologian and commentator says, the earthly wisdom is not true wisdom, since it considers its own ego over any person or thing. And James, with his usage of words, he shows us the gravity of this wisdom. He says it is earthly, in other words, not from above. Then he says it is sensual, which is easily given to passions, which has a connotation of humanity, right? And he seals it by saying it is demonic. And I don't know about you, but I don't want anything to do with anything that is identified or could be identified as demonic. Its origin is opposite of the wisdom that comes from above. It is opposite from descending wisdom. It cannot, like we mentioned, be pure, or rather it is filtered and polluted with passions and ideologies. It cannot be peaceable, rather it revels and enjoys conflict. Its character is not gentle or meek, rather it responds always in emotion. It does not consider their words or actions. It is not open to reason. In other words, it is closed-minded. It cannot show mercy nor bear good fruits. It cannot be impartial. It chooses sides and teams quickly. Warren Wiersbe wrote, there should not be a need to obtain the false wisdom of the earth, the wisdom that attends the flesh and creates the work of the devil. And he ends it with this almost like plea. He says, you obtain your wisdom from God. It is from God our Father, Christ Jesus, from which the wisdom that we should strive to obtain and to exhibit should flow. It is from his throne that we should be seeking that wisdom that will help change the narrative of our reality that we live in today. Origin counts because origin determines product. Origin counts because origin determines result. James tells us that a key to recognize ascending faith is via its origin. Its genesis, its birth, Which brings us to our last key as I ask the team to come up. How can we identify the sending wisdom? The third key that James gives us through these verses is we can identify whether we are exhibiting the sending wisdom or whether someone else is exhibiting the sending wisdom is via its results. The problem here and the context here was that there were a lot of teachers, a lot of leaders, a lot of people that wanted to be known and seen as being wise. They wanted the people, they were teaching and they wanted the people to believe that what they were saying was correct and they wanted to be seen that, but God knows what? The heart, the motive. And so God gives James this word so that James could give this word in an unminced way to the people, to encourage the people, to empower the people, to edify the people. And the problem here was the results of this wisdom. They were dangerous results. They were dangerous then, and they're dangerous today. The results of the other type of wisdom, the product, what it produces is jealousy. It says factions exist. There's confusion. There's every vile deed. It's almost as James is living in the 21st century. And he's sitting somewhere in, I'm going to say LIC so that Williamsburg, you know, I'll say LIC. He's sitting in his apartment somewhere in Long Island City, and he's looking at the news, and he's looking at Facebook, and he's looking at Twitter, and he's looking at Instagram, and he's saying, bam, 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 bam. The following are the results of an earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom. It is a wisdom that seeks to lift the ego of man. It is a wisdom that produces quarrels and fights even within the church. It is wisdom that continues conversations of oppression. It is wisdom that continues to marginalize the least of these within our society. It is a wisdom that sows selfishness, that brings confusion, dressed up as supposed wisdom. That's the other wisdom. James uses harsh words like demonic so that we would run away from this wisdom. And rather draw near to the wisdom whose characteristic produces good, equality, and love. The wisdom that will help us navigate knowledge in a peaceful way. The one that seeks that all would thrive. A wisdom that seeks compassion, meekness in the most needed moments. Impartiality, recognizing that our way isn't always the right way. What we think is not always the correct thing. It is descending wisdom. That is the wisdom that reflects our Lord and Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the wisdom that you and I, sisters and brothers, this morning should strive to obtain and exhibit as people of God, as people that say that we've been saved by the blood that flowed from the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. James ends in saying in verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown, listen up, in peace for them that make peace. The NLT, the New Living Translation says, and those who are peacemakers. I heard a preacher say, we're not peacekeepers, we're peacemakers. Because, well, I'll leave it there, but we're peacemakers. Will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. The Christian life is a life of sowing and of reaping. The believer that sows with descending wisdom, which produces peace, will reap a harvest of righteousness, a harvest of justice, and that is what we long for. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is our prayer. My brothers and my sisters, the life that you and I live and exhibit help bring the righteousness, the will of God, not only down here on earth for us, but also for others. Justice and righteousness cannot be produced in a climate of bitterness or selfishness or anger or partiality. The earthly one can be produced in those spaces, but not the one that you and I should be striving to obtain. What is the righteousness and justice of God? What does it look like? Psalmist 146, the psalmist in Psalms 146, verses 7 through 9 says, paints this beautiful picture for us. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and the widow. But he frustrates the plans of the wicked. And as we read this, please insert yourself where you found yourself. Because we were all at one point or time orphans and widows, oppressed, blind. Listen to me. You and I had the great privilege, the great gift and honor to partner with the Creator of heaven and earth to bring His will down to this earth, to bring His righteousness and justice on this earth. And we have the gift of that via the way we live. Let that sit on your hearts and on your minds and on your spirits. Of what great privilege we have. Of what great privilege, because we're not perfect, sometimes we throw to the side. How do we do this? By seeking descending wisdom. And not only seeking it, but living it out. It is a wisdom that is known by how it looks, by how it operates. It is known by recognizing its origin. And it is known by its results, by what it produces, by the spaces it creates. That is the wisdom, the church, that will empower the church, you and I, to change the narrative of our reality today. Until our Savior comes for us. That is the wisdom that will make way and create spaces for God to arise and for His enemies to be scattered. That is God's greatest witness on earth. It is us. Pastor says this often. It's as if he's making His appeal through our living, through us, through how we live. To those that don't know Him, He's appealing to them on how I treat my brother. The reflective and constructive question should be for us, do I exhibit this wisdom at all times when it counts, when it's needed, in the hard moments, in the moments where I don't want to be wrong, in the moments where I think I'm right, do I exhibit this wisdom? You can close your eyes with me. The hope is that we leave this place challenged by the Word of God to critically look at ourselves, introspectively look at ourselves, to look at all spaces in our lives and see where we need that wisdom to land and find its home. So ask ourselves, am I reflecting Christ? Am I living out via this descending wisdom, a wisdom that at all costs during a pandemic, during election season, during hardship, will seek always the heart and God and the character of God? And I know that it's easier said than done. And I know that we fail, and I know that it's not easy, but it is possible. And as James tells us, if we lack it, we need to ask God for it, and God will give it to us without any question or doubt. Father, who art in heaven, we need you today. Our world needs you today. Not only them, God, but our global church. We need you today, God. We need you to bring the light. We need you to bring light to the spaces where we need some adjustments, God. We need you to help us be the people that you've called us to be, God. We need you to help us to be the people that you died for, God. Help us be a clear and loving and walking testimony of who you are. Because how we live counts towards who we say we serve. We join ourselves with the prophet Amos when he said, may your justice flow like a river, God. May your righteousness like a never-failing and ending stream. Help us in our daily living, God. Help us remember that how we live before man counts towards who we say we live for and counts before who we say we live for, oh Lord, in heaven. Help us seek ourselves, Lord. Help us question ourselves in an unbiased way, Lord, to know whether or not we have been stepping out in this wisdom that you call us to walk in. This descending wisdom, Lord. Help us, Lord. We need you. We find comfort in knowing, God, that you just didn't plant us on this earth and walked away, God. That is not who you are. That is not the God we serve, Lord. Rather, you walk beside us, God. You walk with us in the hardship and in the mountaintops, God. And so we thank you for the word of God, that it is the blueprint. It is the key. It reminds us that there is a different way. It reminds us that there is a God that is considerate of us and would want us to succeed, God. May we draw near and anchor our hearts and lives to this scripture, God. Lord, and if there's someone here, God, that is struggling, Jesus. And God, I mean, we're all struggling, God. Truth be told, we're all struggling. There's spaces in our lives that we need that descending wisdom, God. God, may our hearts be vulnerable before you. May our posture be one of need before you, Jesus. God, because we do not want that other wisdom. We do not want to live lives out of that other wisdom, God. We want to live a life. We want our engagement with people. We want our lives, oh Lord, to create spaces that of which the descending wisdom, the wisdom from above, helps create, God. Help us, Lord. Our posture this morning is one of need, God. Won't you draw near to us, Lord? In your name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.